Well, I'd ask how you're doing, but I know. And that was really good. It's a great time of sharing. Thanks for allowing me to be part of it. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much that you are indeed our place of security. I pray that as I share tonight, Lord, that you would just give me the wisdom and the grace and the words to be able to share the things that will make a difference for my friends here as well as for myself. And Lord, I just pray that you would give each of us the open hearts and minds, the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the heart to respond to you. And so we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am Bill Teton. My wife Nancy and I live in Duluth, where we still have about this much snow in my front yard. This was the last time they checked. This was our third snowiest winter on record. But then it snowed the last couple of days, and so I think we may have hit number two. We are the coldest winter that we've had since, I think it was 1875 or something like that. Just the longest stretch of cold. We haven't broken any individual records for coldness, but just the long cold winter that it's been. My son, David, took my job at UMD. I moved up to Duluth to be the campus director, just like Noah's campus director here. I was the campus director at UMD 3 years ago. And then my boss, Chad, took another job. And so I got the call, Bill, would you consider being our regional leader? And I thought, well, you know, I think I could probably really enjoy it. Well, I got to tell you, I love it. My favorite part is this, coming down and seeing what God is doing on the different campuses. It's really a blast. And then being able to hang out with Noah and Katie, I had breakfast with Nick and staff meeting with the staff this afternoon. It's a blessing. And then just to hear your stories, I mean, I'm over here like fighting back the tears. Well, I mean, for me, that means like a little mist right here. But just hearing God's working in your life, it's really cool. So thanks for sharing. I have six children. My youngest is 21. And they're spread kind of like all over. Actually, we're consolidating. We're down to three states. Colorado, I have two daughters and five grandchildren in Colorado. I have a son and his wife, and then my daughter live in Florida. And then, like I said, my son David is living up in Duluth. And then I have another son that's just ready to graduate this year from UMD in political science. And so I have six kids, eight grandchildren. Six of them are girls, two of them are boys. So it's kind of fun to just be able to go around and spend some time with them. I came to Christ through the Navigator work when I was in the Navy. Right out of high school, I barely squeaked out of high school. And so college just wasn't on the radar for me. So I joined the Navy to see the world and came to Christ through the Navigator work. And then went to college and then got a job in D.C. and then came on staff with the Navigators. And so a lot of my work with the Navigators has been in the military ministry. I don't know if you know this. That's where the Navigators started, back before World War II with Dawson Trotman in the Navy out in California, a lot of Navy guys. And so we have, actually, the Navigators is the largest military ministry in the world. We don't know that because, you know, we're in college and we don't tend to rub shoulders a lot with our military friends. But in 1995 to 2005, for 10 years, I was at the Air Force Academy leading the ministry there in the military ministry. But it was kind of a hybrid of military and collegiate. And I really loved being able to work with college students. And they're kind of like those 4 or 5 years of your life where you're just getting away from home. What kind of person are you going to be? What do you really believe about God? Who are you going to marry sometimes? What are you going to do the rest of your life? Just a wonderful window into people's lives. And I just love it. So when I had an opportunity to come into the civilian aspect of college ministry in Colorado, I jumped at the chance. And so that was in 2005, like I said, and then got the invitation to come up to Duluth. So I love the upper Midwest. I really feel like one of the things that God is doing in the upper Midwest is raising up people like yourselves who not only love the Lord, but are learning how to pass on your faith to other people. And that's, of course, if you've been around the Navigators very long, you know that that's our desire, is to disciple men and women, and then to equip you as laborers. So whether you become vocational missionary or ministry person like myself or like Noah and Katie or Nick or Leanne, or whether you get into the workplace in teaching or industry somewhere, that wherever you go, you'll be a laborer. Somebody that can articulate their faith, somebody that can help other people get into the Bible, somebody that will make a difference. And so kind of like one of our little mottos in the Navigators, we want to see laborers next door to everywhere. You know, every office building, every classroom, every soccer sideline, you know, would love to be able to see just a laborer, somebody like you that can share your faith and help other people grow. So that's kind of our desire. So all that by way of introduction, I'd like to talk to you tonight about security. Excuse me. What comes to your mind when you think of security? Oops. I'm going to try and keep track of the time here, because I understand we only have an hour and a half for me to talk. Security. What do you think of when you think of security? Well, maybe you might think of like the TSA. You know, you go to the airport these days and, you know, you're taking out your laptop and you're taking off your shoes, and they make me take off my belt, and then I have to like make sure that I don't lose anything on the way through the metal detectors. And security, it's helping us to be more secure. Well, maybe, like I told you, I was in the military, and then I was in military ministry for 25 years, and so I got to know gate guards real well. You know, having to have an ID card of some sort to be able to get through to my ministry on a military base. I had the privilege of working with Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines, so all four services. It was really a lot of fun. So gate guards. Well, or maybe you think of Kevin James and Mall Cop. Did anybody ever see Mall Cop? You know, maybe that's, you know, when you hear the word security, that's the first thing you think of. Well, one of the first things I think of, I told you my youngest daughter, Amy, is 21. Well, a couple years ago when she was in high school, her and her friends heard this skit. I think it's Mad TV skit. A girl named Bon Quiqui does this King Burger, have it your way, but don't get crazy. And so if I were to call my daughter up right now and say, Amy, what do you think of when you hear the word security? She'd say, security? Well, I thought maybe you haven't seen that, and so I thought I'd bring it. And so you could actually get a chance to see Bon Quiqui in security.
Marcus Boss met me yesterday, and he didn't show up. Girl, I will cut him. Girl, yes, I will. You remember what happened last time, right, when he had said he didn't hook up with Tracy, and then I had found out he did? Girl, I cut him. Oh, girl, yes, I did, girl.
Excuse me.
Yes, I... you see me in the middle of a conversation? Don't interrupt, bro. I'm gonna have to call you back. Welcome to King Burger, where we could do it your way, but don't get crazy.
Can I get a number 6 with a cookies and cream milkshake?
You sure you just don't want a Coke?
Pardon?
I gotta get the ice cream out, put some cookies all up in it. I don't even know how to use that blender. They got me pressing all these crazy buttons. No, you can have a Coke.
Then get number 6 with a large Coke. Next.
Hi, I'll have a number 3 with no cheese, no tomato, and no lettuce.
Dang, anything else? I got a complicated order.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, sir. You see me trying to put in my order? Don't interrupt, rude.
And no lettuce, that's it.
What?
I changed my mind about the cheese.
Oh, now you want some cheese?
Yes.
Now you want some cheese? You see me putting the order, why you didn't say that in the first place?
I tried to, but...
Oh, no, sir, don't get loud with me, sir. Do not get loud with me. Oh, no. Security!
Security!
We need to go. We need to go. Thank you.
Bon cui cui.
Oh, hi, Mr. Williams. How are you today, sir?
I've had better days, Bon cui cui. This is the fifth time you've called security. Now, how many times do I have to tell you, you cannot call security just because somebody has a complicated order?
Is that what you had said?
Yes, that's what I had said.
Oh, okay. You're right, Mr. Williams. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Next, please.
A number 5 with a boneless, skinless chicken that is slightly seasoned.
No, security! Security! Need to go.
Wait, what?
Sorry, she was trying to fight me, sir.
No, I wasn't. Well, I will cut you.
I'm sorry, she's with our Out of the Hood program.
So security. What do we think of when we think of security? You know, one of the things that kind of binds us together as humans is insecurity. And for good reason. We live in a pretty messed up world, a broken world. I mean, our family, where you should have the most security. You know, the divorce rate, you've heard the statistics like I have. Some people say 75, some people say 50. But whatever the divorce rate is, we all either have come from divorced families or know people that have come from divorced families. And then even the ones that aren't getting divorced are still broken. And so there's either like explosive relationships in the home or maybe just ice cold stony relationships sometimes. And even the most godly parents that we have are still broken. They're still imperfect. And so even the place where we should have the most security, where we should grow up and be secure, we oftentimes don't have it. And then our friendships, even the best friendships, you know, sometimes we're worried about like, oh, what are they going to think? You know, or what did they say? I don't know if you've ever had someone talk about you and say something and then you heard it from somebody else. I mean, that hurts. That hurts a lot. Our economic system in our world, I mean, there's people like my father-in-law who's worked his finger to the bones for his whole life, saved up for retirement, then retired, and then the market crashes. And so the thing that he put security in, some kind of a financial security, gone, or at least greatly diminished. There's just on campuses, NAV Ministries on campuses. Do you know that right now, today, in our country, there's at least 2 campuses that I know of, and probably some more, where the navigators are kicked off campus. In Vanderbilt University, if you haven't heard this, the university itself created a thing called the all-comers policy. And so what they said is not only should anybody be able to come to your nav group, which you would say you'd let anybody come to your group. Doesn't matter, you know, what their political views are, what their sexual orientation is, what their, you know, anything. I mean, they are welcome to come here. But what Vanderbilt says is you have to let anybody be a leader in your group. So that means like even an unbeliever, I mean a Satan worshiper, should be allowed to be your navigator leader. I mean, it's just nonsensical. It's kind of like a white supremacist ought to be able to be part of the Black Student Union and be a leader of the Black. I mean, it's just nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what's happening today at Vanderbilt University. And so NAVS, crew, InterVarsity, they all said, we are not signing that. And so, kicked off. Of course, this is the most fruitful year they've ever had. They're kind of like the bad boys on campus, you know. We got kicked off, join the navigators. You know, maybe that should happen to all of our ministries. But I mean, it's an insecure place to be in this world. There's good reason for feelings of insecurity. So what do we do? Where do we find security? Sorry for playing with this. Where do we find our security? Well, my 3-year-old granddaughter, Charlotte, finds security in Pink Bear. She has a little stuffed animal. I mean, it's grungy. It's gone everywhere. She's gone. But she loves, it's her security. You know, I remember one time where I came in a little overzealous after not seeing her for a couple of weeks. Charlotte, how you doing? She goes, Pink Bear, Pink Bear. She was a little insecure. She needed some security. Well, you know, what's our security? Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord Himself, is our security. And really, as we're going to see in a minute, our only security. The only valuable, the only valid, the only true secure place. Psalm 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. How many people have a chariot? Nobody has a chariot. How many people have horses? Anybody have a horse? We got a horse. How many people have ridden a horse? All right. So at least you've ridden a horse. But most of us don't have horses and chariots. So maybe this verse doesn't really apply. Maybe we should like cut it out, throw it in out of the Bible. I mean, doesn't apply, right? No. The question is, what is your horse and chariot? What is my horse and chariot? What's the thing that we trust in? Where do you tend to trust? When you're feeling insecure, maybe you're feeling lonely, maybe you're feeling a little nervous, a little anxious, a little scared, where do you go? Well, some people go to alcohol. People you know. They're bored, or they're feeling a little insecure, or maybe they just had a hard day, or weed, or whatever, you know, the drug of choice might be. But it's not just the real out stuff. How about this? How about shyness? Some people take shyness and put that out here. If I can be shy, I can hide back here, and I can be secure, and nobody will know the real me, and it's a little safer. Or maybe you're like the dear lady that was on an airplane. I was a three-hour flight, and this dear woman, she had the opposite problem. She was not an extra shy person. She was an extra talkative person. And so, you know, for 3 hours, this poor woman never stopped. And she was talking to these two people next to her. She was right in front of me. These two people, and I could tell they were not interested in what she was talking about, but she didn't stop. She was la, 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 about this person and that person and this event and that event. Well, sometimes if you just are very talkative, you can kind of control the situation out here, and people don't really know what's in here. So there's lots of different places where we can go. Just having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And then sometimes you don't have one and you just feel like, my life is just like so empty. I just need. I have my 21-year-old daughter. When she was in high school, she had this best friend. And she went over to her best friend's house and her mom made this comment. Amy, if your standards were lower, you'd have more boyfriends. I was like, thanks a lot. I didn't need that advice to my daughter. Just lower your standards. Because to that mom and her daughters, having a boyfriend was everything. It like gave a sense of purpose, a sense of significance, a sense of belonging. Sometimes it's not just having a boyfriend or girlfriend, it's having sex with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Or maybe it's having sex solo. Maybe that's oftentimes the thing that people go to be able to have some kind of sense of life is okay. My classes are out of control, my friendships are out of control, but this part of my life, I feel okay about. You know, until after you are done, and then you feel worse. And then it's a downward spiral of sin and guilt and shame, and then more sin and guilt and shame and sin and guilt and shame. And so there's all these kinds of things, and this is what I would call going horizontal to meet my needs. My wife calls it going vertical. And so, you know, when something happens, some kind of difficulty or stress or anxiety or fear comes into your life, the first thing that we ought to do that my wife has tried to do herself and then she shares with me is go vertical. Just go into the Lord, the strong tower. Well, I'd like to look at how far into my time I am. Let me share a story with you. I'd like to share a success story and a failure. So I'll share this failure story first on security. I was at a conference, a Navigator conference, a couple years ago, and there was probably 3,000 people, let's say, Navigator staff like myself in this big conference room. It was Saturday night. They were going to have a dinner and then a speaker. And so I got there. I was in a meeting, got there a little bit late. And I walk in, and the people that I normally would sit with, like, the table was full. And so I walked around, you know, and I walked up and down, you know, each of the little ways between the tables. And the more, you know, I'd see people, and I'd see, like, a seat here or a seat there with people that I didn't know. And the people that I did know, they were already engaged in these conversations. And the more I walked, the smaller I felt the whole time. And I just felt, I just shriveled up, and I was felt so insecure. And so you know what I did? I bolted. I just went to my room. I went to my my hotel room, spent the rest of the night there. I missed out on the message. I missed out on a great meal because I didn't go vertical. I went horizontal. I'm convinced if I would have just maybe stepped outside for a second. All right, Lord, you know how I'm feeling. I feel really insignificant right now. Will you just give me the courage to go engage? I'm confident if I would have done that, if I would have found the Lord as my strong tower, I would have been able to go in, sit down, get to know some people I didn't know before, and just have a wonderful time. All right, so that's my failure story. One of many. But let me tell you a success story. It was a hard time. It was one of these times where someone had talked about me, and I had heard about it, and it was kind of starting to spread like wildfire. And so it was going from people to people to people to people, and it honestly was not true, and yet it was just going. And, you know, the reaction, or the natural reaction, what you want to do is you want to, like, follow the firestorm of this gossip and try and squelch it. No, it's not true, it's not true. That would be going horizontal. But what I did, what the Lord gave me the grace to do, is to go vertical. And I went vertical with the psalm I'm about to share with you that made all the difference in the world. Psalm 62 says, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." I just was actually going through looking for another psalm when I hit this one, and God just spoke to me so clearly that He alone is my rock. Let me just walk you through a couple of things and we'll call it a day. My soul finds rest in one place. You know who your soul is, right? Your soul is that person that when you look in the mirror, I mean, not the first thing you see, that's your, you know, like your hair. I have to worry about that every morning, try to get it right. Your soul is that person when you look a little deeper, you look in the eyes, that's your soul, that person that's down there that nobody else knows. You don't even truly know it. God knows it better than anybody, but it's the person that you really know. Well, that soul sometimes gets tired or shaky or exhausted or weak and just needs rest. And there's one place to find it. It's in God alone. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And then I love this. Just a couple of verses later, he just got finished saying, "My soul finds rest." And now he's saying, "Find rest, soul." It's like we forget it so easy. We need to remind ourselves. We need to remind each other. Hey, go to God. Go to God. Go vertical. Find rest in God alone. And then here's one of the words that really hit me was this: my salvation and my honor depend on God. Remember I told you this situation was someone was going around talking about me, and I felt like my honor was like getting drugged through the mud. And I had to realize, just like I trust in God for my salvation, completely on Him, I need to trust God for my honor, that He's the one that will worry about my reputation. And it was so freeing. I mean, my soul found rest when I didn't have to worry about trying to defend myself. And I could just pour out my heart to him because he is a refuge. Well, I'll close with this. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much again that you are a secure fortress. Lord, would you help me as well as my friends here just to remember this? Lord, when life gets tough, when hard things happen, when we feel anxious or scared or overwhelmed or lonely or bored or just hurting in any of these ways, would you just help us to remember to go vertical? Thank you, Lord, that we can because of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Oh. All right.